What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Dad, You're Wrong. I am your host, Camp Farmer, along with my co-host and executive producer, my mom, Shayla. I got my boy, Jaden, with me, and my dad, who is always wrong. Terrence, I'm not going to lie. I think I actually said you were right. Last week, I think. I apologize. But I got my dad, Terrence, here. You know what I'm saying? So let's go ahead and get down to business. First of all, before we get started, does anybody want to talk about like what happened? Anything special happened this week in anybody's life? No?
No, bro.
I know you didn't have nothing happen this week, Jaden. Anyway, Dad.
What you trying to say, bro?
What am I trying to say? Mom, what happened in your life?
Just another day. Alive and thankful for life and all that we have in our lives, and we're back at the table.
Another week blessed.
Right, Jaden?
Yeah, what you trying to say, bro?
You don't go nowhere.
You ain't asked him the same thing?
I did ask him the same thing.
No.
I said, what are they?
I know you ain't doing nothing this week.
What you trying to say, bro? I mean, you just did, what'd you do, schoolwork?
Yeah, you're right.
Absolutely. So that's a good thing. Okay. So on that note.
What did you do this week besides eat Chick-fil-A and McDonald's?
Well, A.
And Chinese food.
Okay, that was in a two-day time frame. Secondly, I worked that off, consistency and discipline with my workouts. You wouldn't understand anything about that. And I also was binging Harry Potter again. It was a great series. You need to watch Half-Blood Prince, or I'm going to spoil it for you. You know, I'm going to spoil it for you right now.
No, don't spoil it.
I swear, Professor,
bro. Shut up.
I will throw this apple pie across the room, bro.
Don't spoil it, but that may be a good place for us to go ahead and jump into our topic.
All right, Mom, what we got on the plate tonight?
See, he already said too much. Now I feel like something happened. The Dumbledore.
Didn't, so block it out.
Okay, no, all right, nothing, all right, nothing, stay with us, please. Nothing happened with Dumbledore.
All right, so pivot.
What's on the list?
All right. So the first thing we're going to talk about, we're going to get some reactions to game one of the NBA Finals last night between the Miami Heat and the Denver Nuggets, who cruised by Miami Heat 104-93. So who was the most important factor in Denver's game one win? Who wants to start? Jaden, you want to start?
Go ahead and start since you made the first move.
I'm gonna say Jokic. I'm gonna say Jokic. This man, I'm talking about. I don't know how he can stop this guy. Like, you take away your scoring, he's gonna make everybody else around him better. You know what I'm saying? You trying to take everybody else around him, he's gonna give you 40. It's like. There's nobody on Miami's roster that can really hold their own versus Jokic. So I think Jokic is the most important factor in that game to win.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, your biggest stars showed up. Jokic, of course, and Jamal Murray. Of course, they led the way. Miami really has no answer for Denver, just in a size perspective, with Jokic going 6'11" and Michael Porter Jr. going 6'10". And I'm gonna be honest with you, Miami, I think, just my opinion, Miami to a degree is in trouble because Denver didn't really play their best game. Denver didn't really shoot the ball from three that well. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were 8 of 27 from three-point range. So, yeah, they still won by 11, and they still had a 24-point lead in this game. And Denver didn't really play its best game by far. Mm-hmm. So, Miami's got their work cut out for them. They just don't have. Now, I'm not saying Miami can't win.
I still have Miami winning the series.
I don't. I think Denver wins this series, and Miami just didn't have enough answers. I mean, look at the free throw disparity. Miami went to the line Two times.
That's the problem. That was the difference maker. The
two times. I don't think that was. I mean,
that was a difference maker. You got to think about it. If you really watched the game last night, that game really should have been closer than what it was. And they only lost by 11. Miami had good looks the whole night.
Like Denver did. Denver had good looks too from three.
But here's the thing. Miami had good looks the whole night. They just didn't knock it down. Yeah. And then when you take Miami's identity away, which is going to the paint and finishing the paint because the free throw line, and they took that away, I mean.
Yeah. Caleb Martin and Strus combined, what, 1 of 17? 1 of 17 for 3 points. That's not going to cut it.
You're done? Okay.
Typically, you just go ahead and jump in. You thinking about things?
You know, you sound like that. You know that little Volkswagen from Cars where it had all like, it was like the, wait, no, never mind. I'm not going to do that.
Let's not do that.
Can't protect you.
Who's the most important factor in Denver's game one win? That's kind of a two-parter right there. I think, for starters, I think everybody was. I think their size is a huge factor. I mean, Jamal Murray, 6'4". Jokic is 7 foot. Gordon is 6'8". Porter, 6'10".
Yep.
Caldwell Pope, 6'5". Their size... their size is just, I'm not going to lie. If I don't have Miami winning a series, because I don't think they're going to win. If you want to be technical, I genuinely think Miami will get swept, with all due respect. But the second part of my answer, now, to your point that two biggest stars showed up, Jamal Murray and Jokic combined for 53 points, 16 rebounds. 24 assists.
Yep.
Joker shot 6 of 7 from the field. Murray shot 50% on two free throw attempts. But I think the most important factor in Denver's game one win was Aaron Gordon. And I will tell you why.
Okay.
In the first quarter, Aaron Gordon made six out of his first 8 shots, right? He had 12 points in that first quarter alone. And I don't think – I'm not saying that Denver doesn't win the game if he didn't drop that in the first quarter. But the fact that they came out so aggressive – because I'll be real, the amount of rest that Denver had – because the last time Denver played up until this point was like 10 days ago.
Yeah, they hadn't played.
They hadn't played in over a week. So for me, if you want to be technical, I thought they were going to at least have like a – one of those games where you can see the rust a little bit. I mean, they were practicing, of course, yeah, but, like, not in that tradition, that actual gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Aaron Gordon's attack mode last night, and when you think about it, should we really be surprised at Aaron Gordon's 12 first quarter points? Yes and no. Yes, because – we haven't seen that Aaron Gordon since Orlando, and he was one of the top scorers on that team. Well, he was the top scorer on that team when he was in Orlando. But when you get traded, you give up really your offensive load to a Joker and Murray, and I would too. I mean, I got two of the best, one of the best duos in the game. So obviously there was a huge round of adjustment. But Aaron Gordon is no scrub, and I'm not saying you or Jaden think he is and things of that nature. But I think now I will say this. Miami had a couple of spurts last night. They went on an 11-0 run in the third quarter. But again, to Jaden's point, Nikola Jokic, how he was able to get everybody involved and how he's able to set himself as a bait.
You're actually talking sensible. Exactly.
Oh, interesting.
Aaron Gordon, to your point, Aaron Gordon starting out in the first quarter, I think, was simply a product of Joker getting him involved. Because Joker didn't even shoot the ball in the first roughly the first quarter.
And the ironic thing is,
and then when it was time for him to take over, or okay, let me play
for real.
And yeah. Then there it is.
And the ironic thing is, the Denver Nuggets really shot worse at three than the Miami Heat did. The Nuggets shot 29.6%. They literally, out of the 27 attempts that they had from three, they only made 8.
Yeah.
And they still won.
Don't count on that. Don't count on that going forward.
Oh yeah, no, we know Coach Mike Malone, I like how humble my Coach Malone is. He's like, oh, we're in for the fight of our life. No, you're not. I really don't think so.
There's a respect. I'm not respect there.
There is a respect there, and but at the same time, it's like
this Miami team beat Boston and Milwaukee.
You mean to tell me this Miami team? So let me ask you this: you honestly think this Miami team
is going to beat Denver?
This Miami team is basically playing small ball against Denver,
and then lost by 11, and they weren't making shots,
and Denver weren't making shots. You're not going to count on Denver shooting 29%.
Okay.
If Denver plays his best game and Miami plays his best game, Denver's going to win.
Well, like I said a couple episodes ago, Denver, this is going to be the hardest team defensively Denver has faced because Miami's going to throw so many different licks at them.
We'll see what Spoelstra does.
My words. What's today? What is today? It is what?
June 2nd.
Jaden Farmer said on June 2nd, after game one of the finals, that Miami would win in six. All right, we're going to come back to this. Y'all remember that. I don't want to hear y'all.
No way, Jaden. I was agreeing with you.
No, bro.
I'm not agreeing with that at all.
Okay. Like, I mean, it's great to have that confidence.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I like it. I really do. But honestly, bro,
the key is
if Jimmy Butler is gonna drop 13, because I'm gonna be honest with you.
Yeah. Come on, Jimmy. We need that.
If Jimmy was being consistent like he was at the beginning of the playoffs, then maybe we would have a different conversation.
I'm telling y'all, game one for Miami was a spill-out game, man. They were trying to see what Denver was going to give them, what kind of looks they were going to give them. I feel like that's why Jimmy wasn't as aggressive game one. Now game two, man, yeah, does Jimmy need to be more aggressive? Of course he does. Does the role players on Miami need to have a better shooting night? Of course they do. But I'm telling y'all, game two, we're going to see what happened game two.
I have a theory also as to a factor that contributed to Denver's win. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Which I'm like, what?
I have a theory.
Okay.
So I think that it's also, in addition to what everyone has said, size and, you know, what was the other thing you said, Bay?
For Denver?
For Denver. Well, Jokic.
Jokic,
right?
Got Aaron Gordon involved.
Okay. So in addition to all those things, I think it was the mind that they had going into the game. Because Jokic said after the game, he said that they wanted to get the first punch. Mm-hmm. Miami had won the first games, you know, of the playoffs when they traveled. And they didn't want that to happen again. So I think Denver went in knowing what they had to do. They went in knowing that they, by any means necessary, had to shut down Miami. Why y'all looking at me like that? Y'all surprised?
No, I'm surprised.
In each of their series, they won the first game on the road. Miami won the first game in Milwaukee.
I'm surprised.
They won in New York.
At my commentary?
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Be careful.
All right, bro.
Be careful.
Dang.
No, I'm not surprised.
But can you ever hold that against me, though? I'm really surprised.
Yeah, I hold that against you.
But I learned a lot. Grandma, what have you seen?
Grandma was a basketball coach, bro.
Cam, we have seen firsthand Grandma shoot a basketball.
But Grandma is not me.
It does not mean, just because she played, does not mean she did.
Well, I ain't even gonna hold you, man. So, she hit the hood of her car.
Well, she hit the hood of her car, but when she did coach, still,
I like the confidence. I like the confidence.
When she
that
did coach, though, she had a winning team. But all of that aside, it's this wonderful podcast, Dad, You're Wrong, and it's, you know, I think that's the goal of it, is to spark conversation. And so I always sit around and listen to you guys talking, and so I don't want to just be, you know, like the fourth wheel,
not the fourth wheel
that doesn't work. I want to contribute as well.
No, you're not the fourth wheel.
Mom, stop that. You're not a fourth wheel.
Well, you know what I'm saying. I want to be on the podcast. I want to contribute.
Typically, you need four wheels, though.
Well, I said the fourth wheel that works. You can have four wheels in one flat.
I was about to say something about Molly, but I'm not going to do that because Molly is actually good. I actually like her. So I'm not going to do that.
Okay, so I'm the next Molly. So she's Molly, hashtag Molly Goes. All right, so you guys ready for the next topic?
Yes.
They're going to start. Okay. So there's been a lot of movement of coaches in the NBA. We've had Adrian Griffin, Bucks, Nick Nurse, now the newly announced coach for Philadelphia, Frank Vogel for the Suns, and Monty Williams, the Pistons. So in you all's opinion, who has been the best coaching hire so far of those four?
I'm going to go ahead and start. Monty Williams, in my personal opinion, I think Monty Williams has been the best coaching hire so far. Championship. I mean, he hasn't won a championship. Wait, he has won a championship. No, he's never won a championship.
As a head coach?
No, never as a head coach. But he, like, in terms of assistant coaching, he has, right? No. No. Okay.
You didn't look that up.
But he has been to the NBA Finals. He knows what it takes to have patience with a rebuilding roster. Not to mention, he knows how to not only coach as a group, but he also knows how to coach an individual. So I think with this, he has an opportunity to capitalize rebuilding with, you know, rebuilding the Pistons with Cade, Jaden Ivey, Jalen Duren. I'm missing somebody.
That's pretty much the
core right there. So I would have liked to have seen Wemby in Detroit. I'm not gonna lie to you. But I like Monty Williams. He's battle tested. He's proven that he can win at a high level. He has proven that he can be consistent at winning. Because honestly, I don't really blame Coach Monty for the Suns' loss to the
You know why I blame him this year? Because he gave them the go ahead to trade the whole bench for KD.
That's on Monty.
No, Monty didn't have
any. I don't think that's good. Yeah.
So you're telling me the GM just did it without consulting the head coach.
You're making it seem like Monty needs approval from GM needs approval from Monty to trade away.
I will hope the head coach of your basketball team is in the conversation.
Here's the issue with Phoenix. Robert Sarver, who was the old owner, pretty much
changed the whole thing.
Cleaned up. Matt needed to make an impact move.
Not the front office.
They were going all in. That's why they made the move to bring in KD. Phoenix took a gamble to win it all this year. It didn't work.
So you're telling me they look at the paper. They're like, all right, we're gonna bring in Kevin Durant, but the whole bench is gone.
Oh yeah, let's do it. But here's the thing. If I'm Brooklyn, we act like Kevin.
Don't get me wrong. You're not going to my head. I know Kevin Durant is arguably the best scorer on
Kevin
the
team. Who?
Kevin Durant.
You said Kevin Durant. Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, Cameron. He said Kevin Durant.
Okay, Cameron.
I knew what you were talking about.
Okay, Cameron. Oh, sorry. But I'm not going to sit here and say Kevin Durant isn't the best scorer in the league. He is. But honestly, do I think Phoenix needed Kevin Durant on that roster? Phoenix was already winning without KD. And arguably, they weren't really winning without Kevin Durant, but they were like
a top three seed in the West.
They were a fifth seed in the West before KD got there. Let's make that perfect.
Okay, top five.
Chris Paul. Yeah,
that's a bad thing. But then KD didn't, you know, he got hurt. He didn't play that much. But here's the thing though. We're talking about Frank Vogel. Is Frank Vogel really?
That's a bad question, in my opinion.
Is he really going to be a difference maker to get Phoenix?
He didn't do anything in Orlando. He didn't do anything in Indiana. He got that bubble ring.
He won the bubble ring with the LeBron. Lakers.
With exactly. LeBron. Hey, we really go. Wait, whoa.
It was a bubble ring, bro.
He did.
I mean, because he won it in the bubble, duh.
But he didn't win that. LeBron and AD won that. He was on the coattails. He just happened to be the coach at the time. But you have to realize, LeBron was calling him the GM.
But let's be perfectly clear. I think with the Lakers,
I knew Anthony Davis was good on the offense and defensive end, even before he was Anthony Davis, right? But I think with Vogel, what he did a good job with the Lakers was establishing the defensive presence that while he was there, they were the top team in the NBA before everything got, you know, put on pause, before, you know, COVID and all that. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. Even if they didn't go to the bubble, I still had the Lakers winning the entire
because game. Their roster was good. The roster was good.
But they also had that significant presence of their defense that Vogel has been known to have on his teams that he's coaching. He had that with Indiana. He had that with
He was
with Indiana when PG was there?
Yeah. PG, not, Roy Hibbert,
and they ran into LeBron, right?
Okay.
But defensively, they were.
You might have a point.
Okay, so my question is, let's get back to the question.
You didn't even answer Mom's question, Dad.
Well, no, you Jada. Started off.
I said Monty Williams.
So, who has been the best coaching hire so far? So, Cameron, you said Monty Williams, Pistons. Bay, what do you say?
It's just too early to tell. We can at this point, the hires have been made. And we're simply speculating as correct. To how these coaches are going to go, which is the best hire. That's, I mean, you can make an argument for Vogel. You can make an argument for Nick Nurse.
That's definitely not Vogel.
Okay, so we know. Okay, let's take Vogel off the table. But based on
Monty Williams.
But based on what we've seen.
What we've seen.
Yeah, the best hire.
Like, okay, Nick Nurse, right?
He was
very successful with the Raptors.
He won a championship in Toronto.
Okay.
The key.
Golden State was hurt.
The key. Mm-hmm.
Golden State was hurt.
The key with Nurse, though.
Stop that. I know what you're doing.
Come on now.
But the next step.
Okay.
That's another podcast. But Nick Nurse in Philadelphia. He's got Joel Embiid.
James Harden not staying.
Harden and Morey have this relationship. Okay. Can Nick Nurse get Maxi? Can he max out Maxi? Maxi, in my opinion, has an all-star. He has an all-star talent.
He has solidified himself as the number two.
But can he maximize Maxi? You really can't count on Harden. Harden
will be in Houston next year anyway.
I think Harden wants wherever.
You think he's going to Houston?
He's going back to Houston.
I think, I don't know.
What?
That's a whole other story.
Going back to Houston.
But in my opinion, I think Nick Nurse in Philadelphia will be.
Mm-mm. I agree with Cameron. I think it's Monty Williams. You got to really think of the
You coaching. Said Monty Williams?
I said Monty Williams. Mm-hmm.
It's Monty Williams. I think. Yeah. You got to think of.
He has a.
He's got a young core in Detroit.
I'm not saying Monty wins because I think he's going to magically have the Pistons in the playoffs. No, I'm saying I feel like Monty Williams, to Cameron's point, I feel like Monty Williams is one. He's a good coach, and I feel like he can develop that core down there in Detroit.
You saw what he did with Phoenix in the bubble. You know how fast. You know. All right, let's be honest. 3 years ago today, we're sitting here, right? No basketball on. Sitting here watching The Last Dance, then poof, bubble happens, and you see Phoenix going on that 8-0 run in the bubble. First thing, I think they should have been in the playoffs, but they weren't. So now you see, how fast a year, like 3 years, like how I'm trying to phrase this. You know how
they went from here and
from
they,
here, they
nothing
went,
to
they went up and
to
all
the
of that.
Finals,
and
finals,
and then
okay,
on
yeah,
top of
they kind of went down.
On top of that, you had CP3, D-Book. And then you had Kevin Durant. As a coach, you have to be able to still have control over that locker room because those are three A-list players. You know what I'm saying? D-Book, the offense really does run through Devin Booker. And now with Kevin Durant coming, who knows? Do I think D-Book welcomed the fact that KD will have the ball in his hand more? Of course, it's Kevin Durant, right? But still, you don't know how these players will react. My team, you know what I'm saying? Well, I'm Kevin Durant. Well, I'm CP, I'm the point guard, all that type of stuff. I think Monty Williams did a good job of still having control over that um,
over the locker room. And think about with Detroit, who they had over there before Monty Williams over there. Who
was the coach? What?
Yeah. Who did they have?
Oh my gosh.
Who was the coach before Monty Williams showed up?
Dwayne Casey.
What?
He hasn't done anything.
The culture was there.
That's why he's fired.
The culture.
He resigned.
And he's winning.
He resigned before he was going to get fired.
He
just beat the front office to the punch. Like, hey man, we know you're going to fire office one. I'm just going to resign. So fire is now my resume. You know what I'm saying?
Doc Rivers is fired. Okay, that's a fire.
The highlight of Detroit is the NBA lottery, and they were let down because Wembanyama is going to San Antonio.
I actually would have liked to have seen Wimby in Detroit.
I would love to see Wimby in Detroit
Charlotte. Charlotte.
Well, speaking of Doc Rivers, I like the way Maury said it. Okay, because I'm HR, and you have people who voluntarily leave their roles to avoid being involuntarily separated.
Okay.
But I like what Maury said. He said, after having the chance to reflect upon our season, we decided that certain changes are necessary to further our goals of competing for a championship.
It's just the process.
What that was.
I know what it means.
After Philadelphia got eliminated.
Yeah.
James Harden, he was asked about his relationship with Doc Rivers. Harden did not give a glowing recommendation of Doc Rivers. He didn't say, I hate him.
He was passive aggressive.
He was more or less saying, we cool. Which meant
I don't really
care for you.
Yeah.
Therefore, Rivers was fired.
Mm-hmm.
Now, were there some meltdowns, I guess for lack of a better word, in Doc Rivers' tenure? Yes, obviously against Atlanta. That was a meltdown.
And honestly, I think Doc Rivers overrated. That's just me.
He
had that one glorious season in 08 with KG, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen. Like, come on, man. Personally,
let me finish my point. Harden, in my opinion, Harden got Doc Rivers fired. That's what that was.
I don't really agree with that either.
Doc Rivers would be the coach of Philadelphia today had Harden said, I love playing for him.
No.
You don't think so?
Yeah, it's been like four years.
Doc Rivers.
It's been 4 years that Philly has finished top three in the East
and they have
completely bombed. You even say,
I don't hear anything about Philly into the playoffs.
Come on now, Dad.
Philadelphia
is unique.
Dad.
They have two GMs.
Dad.
Daryl Morey and James Harden.
Oh, God. I knew he was going to say that.
That's crazy.
It's what it
no,
is.
No, it's not.
Harden got fired.
I agree, but I disagree at the same time. Harden may have gotten Doc Rivers fired, but it wasn't because of what he said. It was because of the inconsistent play that Harden has put up in that series. Harden knew that they obviously in the games that they won, in games 1 and 4, Harden stepped up. Harden dropped 40 plus. Right, to help out Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. At the same time, right?
You cannot. You don't mean to tell
you're
me
in a game
that
seven.
Harden didn't have any bearing on him getting fired?
I'm not saying that he did it. I'm not saying that he didn't, but it wasn't because of what he said. It was because of his play.
No.
James Harden was inconsistent. No. James Harden, we know Embiid was going to get his.
We know he was.
We're putting the issue
with Doc Rivers. Dad. Doc would still be the coach.
I actually disagree with that because they already fired Nick Nurse.
It was not you. You think out of all people on that roster, James Harden gonna have the final say and not Embiid?
And not Embiid? On me, Embiid?
Doc,
he's smiling, America. He knows we're right. He's smiling.
Doc Rivers,
Dad, you're wrong.
Dad,
you're wrong. You're wrong. Humbly speaking, I love you to death, but you are wrong.
Since 2008,
we like to. I know. Since 2008, ever since
that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George came to the Clippers. We talked about,
Doc Rivers is the championship head coach.
He is a championship head coach in a different era. This era.
But that Boston Celtics team, I could have been the head coach of the year.
Whoa.
Exactly. He didn't have the coach. He didn't have the coach.
Paul Pierce.
He didn't have to, really? Exactly. Exactly. He did not have to coach. Ever since that finals,
You mean to tell me he didn't have the coaching in that Lakers series against Kobe?
They lost that series.
Huh?
Wait, no. They won in 08.
Exactly.
But in 2010, Kobe was a different breed, man. I'm sorry.
But we're not talking about 2010. We're talking about 08.
I'm sorry.
We're talking about Doc Rivers and his past head coaching job.
In
2008, he had a stacked roster in Boston. Then he went to the Clippers, right?
He went to the Clippers.
Had Lob City, CP3, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan. I know it was
Lob City. What you saying?
I will admit, Doc Rivers has been with the Clippers for what, 7-8 seasons?
They have not
gotten past the second round.
Exactly.
They blew a 3-1 lead not only to the Denver Nuggets, but also to the Houston Rockets in 2014, 2013. Not to mention,
in the bit, as bad as y'all say he is.
I'm not saying he's bad.
He'll probably take a year off. We'll see what happens this time next year. He'll be back on the bench.
So clearly, my comment about Doc Rivers took this conversation.
I answered your question.
Yes, you did.
Jaden agreed with me.
No, it wasn't a question. It was this one.
I ain't gonna lie. That brought it up.
Well, I didn't ask a question. I actually made a comment about Maury's comment or Maury's statement regarding Doc Rivers, and then that's when
Rivers, he was out of there.
Okay, so he was out of there. So, all right. So, Cam, what's your final word for this episode of Dad, You're Wrong?
Dad, I got to say to that. Dad, you're wrong. You know you're wrong. Humbly speaking, right, first and foremost, we're not taking away anything that you're saying. As a matter of – hold on.
Really?
I'm not taking away from anything that you're saying. As a matter of fact, I agree with you that James Harden did get Doc Rivers fired. But it wasn't because of what he said. It was because of his lackluster play.
So you both agree.
We both agree, but for different reasons. Okay. But to your point, right, I do think that Monty Williams so far has been the best hire in the NBA because, you know, he has proven to elevate a team when they're in their rebuild periods. So
okay.
I will admit that's how I feel. Jaden agreed, but for different reasons as well. So
Monty be representing Detroit at the NBA lottery next year too, right? Go ahead.
That's okay. It's his first year on the job. Hey, Dad, look, he got his bag, right? He
is $78
million. $78 million, the highest paid head coach in history. Yeah, in history. Yeah. $78.5 million. Hey, we're good.
So
and guess what? He deserves it. He's probably the one coach in the NBA outside of Tyronn Lue, Mike Brown, Steve Kerr, who else? Mike Malone, who deserved their bag. So, humbly speaking, ladies and gentlemen, America.
So, America. What's coming up on Sunday?
Oh, y'all, check out game 2 of the NBA Finals. Miami Heat at Denver Nuggets, game 2. See if we're wrong. See if I'm wrong. See if my brother's wrong. See if my dad's wrong or whatever. But tune in. It's going to be a great night. And hope you guys take heed as to what we said. Because we really let out some valid information. Jaden, what did you want to say? Because you were complaining already.
It's too late now. You got to all the time. Cool.
Oh, my bad. My bad. Dad, you got anything else you want to say? You good? Bro.
Glad to be here.
Mom, you got anything else?
No.
I want to say, Mom, you are a great host.
Oh, thank you.
I apologize for interrupting you, by the way. So it's okay. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, God bless you. Love. This episode will be posted tomorrow morning, June the 3rd.
So episodes are posted every Saturday.
Yeah, every Saturday at 7 a.m. And can't wait for you guys to hear what we have. So y'all have a great night. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your families. Enjoy your loved ones. Enjoy your friends. Wherever you're at, wherever city, town, y'all get the gist. God bless you. Love.